Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Welcome to Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. What happened this week? Well, anti-abortion advocates want to block Texas highways. Elon Musk blames the Anti-Defamation League for 60% drop in ad sales on ex-Twitter. Pastor forcibly removed from a school board meeting for reading aloud porn book from kids' library. Donald Trump wallops Biden in unlikely voter poll. In a flashback to last week's discussion, retailers eager for a tsunami of business from Gen Z shoppers. And what the Cochrane Review says about masks for COVID-19 and what it doesn't. Finally, U.S. Virgin Islands says J.P. Morgan notified Treasury of more than $1 billion with a B in Jeffrey Epstein human trafficking transactions after he died. And that is a prolific dead person right there. Anyway, I'm Henry Reigns.
I'm Mark Edge.
And this is Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. Mark, I gotta get some sound effects because the last 24 hours, nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
Nobody knows.
Yeah, there you go. And I know you've seen your share of trouble. 24 hours.
I try to avoid it as best I can, but you know, I did get bit by some sandflies out here on the beach in Honduras. So that was pretty rough.
Do you you don't have a motorcycle street bike now, do you? Did you ever?
No.
Last time you ever had a motorcycle?
Last time I had a motorcycle that I can think of would have been in my teen years. So, 18.
I seem to remember that.
Yeah, I'm against them, generally.
Well, you don't want to be against them when they're hot, because you'll get a burn from that stuff. But,
yes, you certainly can.
Yeah, you know, what I made me think about when you said, you know, you're trying to avoid trouble, and I'm at that age, I like to avoid trouble, too. I've been at the age of liking to avoid trouble for quite a while, not always successful at it. But the number of seniors that have street bikes, and not the crotch rockets of the cafe racer styling, you know, I don't see too many 60-somethings on those. They're on their hogs, their other V-twins from other manufacturers that they seem to like that.
They have a much more adult seated position. Yes.
Right. But the thing is, way back when I had raced motocross bikes, that was like high school age, mm-hmm. But I did have a bike I could ride on the street. And I just fell once on the street at a very slow speed. And I looked at how much of the skin on my arm came off just from a moment of contact with pavement.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have that experience again. And if I were to go out on a bike, really the only way you can protect yourself is with leathers from pavement rash like that.
Yeah. And then you might as well just walk, get into a car if you're going to put on a set of leathers.
Well, especially in Florida, that's a little bit hot to be out there.
Yeah.
Plus, you look so silly being the only senior citizen in leathers on your Harley Davidson with your significant other on the back there weighing down the shock. Do Harley Davidsons have unishocks now like most motorcycles? Or do they still have? I apologize for showing my ignorance to all the riders there, because I have a lot of friends that ride them. A lot of females, too, in their 50s and 60s have their own bikes. I'm like, don't you know what happens? Maybe it comes from managing orthopedic offices, and at one more than others, because the second one, the later one, that doctor wouldn't even take calls on an ER. But we got a lot of ER motorcycle calls back in the 90s, and you saw a lot of external hardware sticking out of people that came in to see us. on that. So I have a very healthy respect for what can happen if when you're not upright on a motorcycle.
Yeah, I agree with you. People have to do what they have to do, and obviously motorcycles have as many rights on the road as anybody else. It's just that, to my mind, you know, it just doesn't seem like you've got
a 50-year-old man does not have to be on a two-wheel vehicle that'll go well over 100 miles an hour much quicker than any car will, barring perhaps a Tesla.
Yeah, well, for me, it's just the protection, right? You just don't have the protection on a motorcycle that you do on a car. And add to that that motorcyclists are motorcyclists' biggest enemy, if you want to make generalizations. You know, most of the places I see motorcyclists, they're weaving in and out of traffic. They're running down the center line. They're doing any variety of things. Now, certainly not every motorcyclist is doing that. And the 50-year-olds on hogs are least likely to do these sorts of things. But the reality of motorcycles is they don't provide the protection the cars do.
And how
not even the smallest car.
Beer at Peggy's Corral out on US 41 there. You know what I'm talking about. We talked about not going hyper-local, but everybody in their greater metro area has a Peggy's Corral where you drive by and you see 24 motorcycles of the Harley genre there, and you know every one of them, the youngest one in the crowd is 50 years old, and they're sitting there drinking for 2 or 3 hours, and they come out, and it's beyond me. It's like the people need to go to our podcast site and go back and listen to our observations about boomers versus millennials versus Gen Z's, and I was really the open-minded one about it all, but I am so closed-minded now. I'm being the old, grumpy, get-off-the-grass guy now, except I'm telling it for other seniors, get off the bike and protect yourself and your hips. You know, fractures are no fun.
Well, I would say that generally bikers are largely ignored by police these days simply because you know, bikers ain't what they used to be.
Because they're old. Why do they need to pay attention to that?
Right. I've heard it said on the internet that bikers are the largest cosplay organization in America, which is basically saying that they just dress up and buy motorcycles for fun. Now, I don't know, because I'm not a biker, but this is what I have heard on the internet. So, you know, if you like your bike, then ride your bike.
I can't go there with you, Mark, because if you're cosplaying a Harry Potter thing, whatever the game is with the broomstick between your legs,
mm-hmm.
and you're not...
Witch?
Yeah, that. Hell, I'm alienating all of the generations today. Anyway, if you're out there running around like that and you're not flying that broom, that's cosplaying. Now, if you're on a motorcycle and you're riding the motorcycle and you're dressed like a motorcycle rider, is that really cosplaying?
I don't know because I'm not in the cosplay world. But
you brought it up.
If you're dressing up like something you're not, I suppose that's that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the businessmen going to work in suits, are they cosplaying? I guess they're, you could make the argument.
They're cosplaying competency?
Right.
Well, anyway, the point being is you never know what's going to happen. Just like I didn't know what happened, bringing it all back to me, because that's really where this started, about me and my 24 hours, was when I was rear-ended by the car that was hit by the car behind the car that hit the car that I was in. And no damage. Now, I may retract this at a future date. I reserve that right. But no damage that I'm aware of to my body or my car. But it was an annoyance. And it wasn't pleasant. And then, again, it's about me, Mark.
Uh-huh.
I was already had a bad day going, and then Susan decided that we needed to bring the two strays that had been hanging out on the access road to our community to bring them home last night because they couldn't be out.
Me, are we talking about stray dogs?
Yes, two stray dogs.
Okay.
One, it could be a Labrador mix, but it's as much of a Labrador, black Labrador as I can judge, as anything else. And then a smaller dog, a female. That was the Labrador is a male. The female is probably about 35 pounds and very, very sweet. But I was like, let's just leave them a bucket of water and leave them some food. They look hungry. They look thirsty. We don't want them to dehydrate. And somebody will come looking for them, or somebody will see them and want a dog, or animal control will come by. And we live in a community that you can't have a dog that's over 40 pounds. We already have two cats. We can't even have a third pet.
How do the cats feel about these new dogs?
They feel betrayed.
I bet they do.
The female feels very betrayed. She's given us that look that she reserves on the hierarchy of how betrayed and disappointed she feels with us. It's maximum disappointment and betrayal.
Tommy, disappointment is a pound from cat.
Tommy and I have a habit of watching YouTube together, and we like to watch unusual animal friends.
This is you and the cat.
Yes. Well, the male cat. The female cat seem to find that as interesting as Tommy and I find it.
Go figure.
Yeah. Well, and so he saw we call it a garage, but the door is only as wide as a person, so you really couldn't get your car in there. But it's the size of a garage at the back of the carport. And we have them in there, so they come back and forth through the carport there, and the cats can see them there. Tommy was like sort of in his cat-like way, being friendly to the dogs that came by, like nodding its head and like, you know, you could rub my head if you want, dog. But the dog was like, that cat's just putting its head out there for me. And so, but I don't think it would have ended well for the dog's nose or for Tommy's
head.
His imagination of how dogs and cats get along. He just sees cats and ducks and cats and dogs and cats and birds all playing together and having fun. And he's just got the female cat that they play occasionally, but yeah, it doesn't look as good as the video.
You're lucky they can live in the same house. I mean, you know, unless they're litter mates, cats can be very difficult about
really
getting along. They can be.
Why?
Because cats are, you know, not really domesticated. They just live with us.
Well, maybe we aren't the ones that are domesticated. But
I think that there's a better argument for that.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, we worked on that. We got them scanned for chips this morning. One has a chip, one doesn't. We're hopeful that the big one will find its way home tonight. We don't know. And then I guess I probably just should not.
I guess there's some people that are probably pretty worried, right?
Oh, what?
I guess there's some people that are probably pretty worried about him.
I'm pretty worried about him.
Well, what's the system if you find a dog that one should go through? How does one make sure that a dog gets back to where it belongs?
Well, we're going to do a public service. Most common pets, like the cats and dogs, are chipped now. And I'm all for chipping people at this point in time. I used to be against that. But I'm like, anything that makes people a little less inconvenient for me.
I'm for voluntary chipping.
You're for voluntary chipping?
Voluntary chipping. Go ahead and chip yourself if you want.
There should be an age limit. I mean, I'm ready. Anyway, I digress. So you scan you bring the dog in, and they have this magic wand or like TV control looking thing over it. And, you know, if they hear a beep, that means it's got a chip in it, and they get the number, and then they access the database. And so it turns out that Bruno has a chip in him. And, Bruno was in the database, and Bruno's, you know, in the old days we used to call them owners, but Bruno's parent has been informed that adopted parent has been informed yes. that somebody has the dog, and hopefully they will respond to that message. It's almost like HIPAA, you know, your medical information. You don't extend your pet's information freely back and forth through this database. But we do know by the geographic locator that Bruno's home is probably a half mile from here.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I hope he gets back today. My dog was missing for about 4 hours, maybe less than a year ago, and it was not a good feeling.
No. Well, we had a dog. I think you met Slim. Slim was a street dog. He lived to be 18 and a half. But at about age 16 or 17, he just got it into him one day to take off. And he had taken off before, but he'd always come back a few hours later. He was pretty street smart. And he actually, I think he caught the scent of a female coyote, is my theory, because he wound up over in, again, hyperlocality, at the mouth of the Manatee River. I'll describe it that way. At the
wow.
park, it's at the mouth of the Manatee River. So he was about 6 or 7 miles away, and then he got busted by the dog police, taken to doggy jail, and we saw him being put up on the busted list. And we went
good.
Out there, and he was like very glad to see us, and he... He was,
I hope that taught him a lesson.
Well, until he could catch the scent again, and since he was 16 or 17, I don't think he ever caught the scent again. But I imagine there's some Slimoties, or Grand Slimoties, or Great Grand Slimoties, out there somewhere.
Was he fixed?
No.
Okay, well, that's the problem. He's an intact male. Of course he's going to wander.
Well, I mean, I had a neutered female that wandered, too.
I'm not saying that it excludes the rest, but...
It's great.
I think if we look at wandering dogs, that you'll see a disproportionately high number of them are intact males.
Much like wandering husbands.
Indeed. Ladies, have your husband spayed and neutered.
Anyway, I mean, I don't want to make this all about myself. So let's make it about someone saying something about us. That would be Jeremy. Jeremy, want to thank anybody that gives us suggestions, and we thanked a couple last week. And by the way, thanks to all the people that are bumping up the podcast listens. Really appreciate that. You can get the entire 3 hour and one huge, I was going to say a slice, but if it was a slice, it wouldn't be the whole thing. One huge pie, and not a slice of a pie, under the Free Talk Live banner, I believe. I'm saying that right, aren't I? You can go to freetalklive.com and you get the whole pie all at once.
I guess that's what it is, yeah. You can also go to ftl.fm. We're rolling out that website here at this time, and that's the new one.
.com or .fm?
FTL.fm.
Oh. And
we'll see whether or not that gets some traction.
Okay.
Ian's still skeptical, but of course he is.
Well, is it a... tell me more about this, Mark. You know, FTL.fm is .fm. Is that just audio?
It's audio, video, the ability to interact with other listeners. It's essentially our own little social media slice.
How's that? And do you get on there and you have followers, or how do people interact with it?
Well, it's set up. I mean, you can connect with people. You don't have followers necessarily. You connect with them, there's no one to interact with, so I haven't had a lot of interactions yet.
Well, why don't you just take it up, like we said last time, you can have this and bring it over to MySpace.com and have that libertarian ecosphere there with, like a Venn diagram, you know, with the FTL.fm overlapping MySpace.com and the libertarian ethos and ecosystem just as like a cloud hanging over all of it.
I think that's a great idea. However, I paid for all this.
Well, how much sweeter could it be to have paid for that and then use it to co-op Justin Timberlake's multi-million dollar investment in my career?
Well, I'm not sure I co-opted. He'll still be the owner.
It's the people's MySpace now. Jeremy W. So, because there might be some Jeremys out there. I don't remember writing them.
Well, I do know this Jeremy. I got the email, and I don't mind giving his last name. Interestingly, this Jeremy is the first person to call Free Talk Live, which was the first media in the world to discuss Bitcoin. So Jeremy made the first Bitcoin call to Free Talk Live in 2010. About
the ancient.
Well, he's younger man than I. I'm 52.
He's younger than me too.
Yes, he is.
I like the way he included me because it says, "Hey, Mark and Henry."
Yep.
I think it would be cool if you had a Vmail line for Reigns and Edge that listeners can leave messages on that can be played on the air/podcast. That would make Henry feel a little bit more like the old radio shows than he did sort of the happy face emoji there. They want to kind of type, not the canned emoji faces now that all the keyboards all have built in.
I like the typed ones. I'm old school.
I thank Jeremy for that. I believe I looked at it a little bit. I think we'll have it ready to go by next week. And I don't want to make a promise on this, but I think we'll have the Reigns and Edge. Like I said, there were some things that distracted me from getting this done last week. One was the hurricane.
The hurricane was so distracting.
Yes. And now I have dogs and upset cats and chips and things like that. But I think we'll be back to at least a semblance of normalcy that we can have some of these nice things.
I don't even want the semblance of normalcy to be part of our branding.
Well, I don't think you have too much to worry about there. Running on time will probably not be part of the branding either, because we're coming up against the clock now, and important messages, besides just the fact that we'll have a bigger social media presence, we'll have an email line, we'll have more with some of Mark's stories right after this. Listen to Free Top 5. Go back into post-production, and I will say, you're listening to Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Trump White House official Peter Navarro found guilty yesterday of contempt of Congress charges for refusing to cooperate with a congressional investigation into the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Apple releasing a significant security update for iPhones and iPads yesterday to patch a newly discovered security weakness in the device's system software. The issue apparently is that the software flaw is being actively exploited to deliver commercial commercial spyware called Pegasus. Hurricane Lee has strengthened into a Category 5 storm. That storm is likely not done strengthening yet. The latest analysis of the megastorm this morning shows Lee has sustained wind speeds of around 165 miles an hour, and it is expected to get winds around 180. Corey Myers, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Henry Reigns.
I'm Mark Edge.
Mark, we have so many stories to get to this week, but I understand you're focused on porn.
Yes, I am. This is from Zero Hedge, and the headline says it all. Watch, it's a video. Pastor forcibly removed from school board meeting for reading aloud porn book from kids' library. And they even used the apostrophe for the plural properly. So a pastor in Florida, this is Indian River County, was forcibly removed from a school board meeting when he attempted to read aloud pornographic passages from a book that is available in the kids' library. The man was one of around 30 parents.
I have so many questions, but I'm only going to momentarily interrupt you to wait.
We can get to the questions in a second, but I think that we need to lay out the situation first.
We need some exposition, Mark.
Yeah, that's right. The man was from with around 30 parents in Monday meeting at the Indian River County School Board. Pastor John K. Amarchukwu,
Senior. Whoa, slow down now. Let me hear that name again.
Yeah, Amarchukwu, began to read from the book titled 13 Reasons Why by J. Asher, but he only got one sentence in before the board shut him down. Now, I'm not going to read this on the air because there are rules against prurience, but...
Really?
Yeah, there are on the radio.
Well, wait. I don't want you to do anything we're not supposed to, so let me just catch up. Amarchukwu was the pastor?
Right.
So I got that pretty close. And does it get the church?
It doesn't.
That nowhere in that not anywhere in that article? Because it doesn't sound... I don't want to be too biased or prejudiced about this, but it doesn't sound like your typical Christian pastor in this name.
I can't say. It's a black man. Maybe he's from Africa.
Oh.
That's my guess.
Oh, I was thinking Central Asian or something like that.
Right.
Now I just assumed stuff and I was wrong.
Yep, those African pastors can be very adamant on certain issues. You remember it's like Uganda where being gay is outlawed. So
or punishable by death.
That kind of thing. Yeah. It's a little extreme. So the line is, as if letting him give me the digit, I'm filling that part in, was going to cure all my problems, the pastor read, prompting one board member to yell into the microphone, "Sir, I will stop you right there."
Wait a minute, wait. Say it again with your, protected syntax there.
Right. As if letting him give me the digit was going to cure all my problems.
Sounds like a proctology exam to me.
Well, it could be.
How medical.
But apparently this county board member was not prepared to listen any further.
Hmm. Was this a male or female board member?
It was a male.
Hmm. Well, sensitive.
I watched the video. Don't have the video here for you. A citizen read, this is the Libs of TikTok, which is a great little bit on Twitter. Or X, or whatever you want to call it. Graphic. A citizen read from a pornographic book available to students in at IRC schools and was shut down by the board, then removed by security. Too graphic for the board to hear, but perfectly okay for middle schoolers. Make it make sense. I would take this. What's that?
Do we have the title of the book?
13 Reasons Why by Jay Asher.
Okay. So please continue.
And there's plenty of these books out there, the books that are entitled to sort of help young people transition from this world of not understanding sex at all to this world where they understand it, right? It's just that...
When does that happen?
When does what happen? That you understand sex? Okay, well, nobody wants my book on it, I can tell you that. As Fox News reports, other parents at the meeting were also cut off when reading from different books, all available to school children. However, Governor Ron DeSantis instituted a rule earlier this year that states parents shall have the right to read passages from any material that is subject to an objection. The rule also decrees that if parents are prevented from doing so, the materials they are objecting to must be immediately removed and discontinued from use in the school. And I kind of feel like if you sit on a school board, you should have to listen to passages from books that are available in that school's systems library. I mean, I don't see why not. It just seems like a strange thing to do. For a school board to say, I can't listen to that, I'm sorry. And it's not like we're talking about a long time here. I think you're given a meager 3 minutes to chit-chat with the board in any given event.
I would disagree with that in that there could be things that are appropriate in a book that someone's reading that in a general populated auditorium is not appropriate. But while you were buying a little time, I Googled 13 Reasons Why, and I think I was taken aback because I was ready to make a lot of light of this. And do you know what 13 Reasons Why is?
No, I haven't looked it up.
Yeah, well, neither did I until just... And I feel really socially disconnected from... culturally disconnected, I meant to say... 13 Reasons Why is an American teen drama television series developed for Netflix based on the 2007 novel, 13 Reasons Why, by Jay Asher, as you said.
Novel, okay.
The series revolves around a high school student and the aftermath of the suicide of a fellow student, a male student, and the aftermath of the suicide of a fellow female student. Before her death, she leaves behind a box of cassette tapes in which she details the reasons why she chose to end her life, as well as the people she believes are responsible for her death. Now, I don't have time to read through this quite long synopsis of who the characters are and what's happened, but, you know, teen suicide is a real problem now.
Sure.
It seems like...
I think it's probably always been, but yeah.
Well, I think the numbers bear out that it's the worst problem now. And
well, there's nothing against which to struggle, and I think that makes things difficult.
It seems like that both the pastor, for singling out this without the context of why that might have been an important passage in the book.
He got a sentence out.
Right, a sentence that would be shocking. And if you don't know the context, like we didn't know the context, I'll speak for myself and not for Mark.
I certainly didn't.
You know, it becomes a chance for me to make a snide comment about a proctology and try and find some cheap humor about the whole thing. But evidently it's a real subject. And, you know, luckily my teenagers have survived past teenagerhood. But, you know, friends of theirs have done self-harm.
Did not.
And I feel chastened by this.
Well, all I'm saying is that if you can't, like, if we're going to have a school board, right, like the presumption is we're sending all our kids here to this place, and that place is going to teach them things, and we should all have a voice in what those things are, right? And
No,
we should not all have a voice. Who should have a voice?
Well, it depends on what you're talking about. You're talking about we should all have a voice on what's in the library, so every single person in the community gets a veto over what's in the library?
No. I think that really the problem is government school, if you want my solution to the problem. The problem is that you can't get enough people from a variety of different backgrounds to agree on one thing, any one thing, including which books should be in a library. And why spend your life fighting morons? Because that's what everybody thinks that everybody else on the other side of the issue is, right? The person with whom who disagrees with you on teen sex or suicide or self-harm or whatever the important topic is, because I can assure you I disagree with parents that are right on my street on how I should raise my kid. And, you know, the idea that they would be able to determine what books he can read and what books he can't read sounds ridiculous to me. But if I go and demand money from those people in order to educate my kid, then I think they should be able to tell me what he should be able to read and what they shouldn't. Because I don't think that you should be able to extract money from a Muslim and use that money to preach evangelical Christianity to somebody. Nor do I think the opposite. And these are just sort of the fundamental ideas. I don't think that you should be able to...
You're bringing the whole question outside. You're seeing everything through this libertarian prism that you've been wearing for, what, 20 or 30 years. And the way to phrase that question is, for me to present it to you without the prism, is I think the Muslim child should have an opportunity to read the Bible. I think the... Christian child should have an opportunity to read the Quran, and I think they should both have a chance to read a book about atheism. And why not Plato's Republic or anything of a spiritual nature or a philosophical nature?
How much time did the Republic spend on that? I mean, I know I read part of it, but it got real boring. The translator wasn't that great.
Well, they don't talk about digits in the Republic.
They certainly don't.
But
I think that this is just the fundamental problem of a world where we can see everything. Because going back in the day, if one parent went to a school board meeting and complained about a book, and I've read some books, that I'm not so sure should be in every school library. You know? And it seems like there are people out there making books simpler and simpler for kids that perhaps one or two may infiltrate. And then you're like, well, I really wouldn't have had my kid reading this book. But then again, I don't run all my books by my mom. She would definitely have opinions on these subjects. So, you know, I'm caught in a quandary. I just don't think that anybody should be able to make my kid not be able to read or read things that, you know, I disagree with. Now, I don't limit the things that my son can read. I would like him to read anything he can get his hands on. He has access to my Marvel Unlimited subscription, so he can read comic books too, which I was just thinking this week as I was reading through an old Jack Kirby and Stan Lee Thor. This is the reason that my diction is so good, is because it's written at such a high level back then.
Clobbering time.
What's this?
It's clobbering time.
This is the best you got to rebut that? No, I mean, it's I've got it on my Instagram page. You can see a page from...
Hey, I agree that comics ought to be integral to learning to read.
I just wish that comics today were as... like the pictures are far more compelling than Jack Kirby's artwork was. You know, the guy was putting out, I think, eight titles a month for a while. And however, I just think that Stan had a way with prose.
Well, to take us back to, I think, what you were talking about originally on this story, about the books in the library for, was it for high school age or middle school age?
This was middle school.
Okay. All right, so we're talking about those. So, you know, we could make the argument that perhaps what is appropriate for middle school isn't appropriate for high school, or what vice versa. What appropriate high school is not appropriate for middle school.
High schoolers are adults, right? You have to treat them as such.
Well, the point I was going to make was that most parents of high school students are older than 30. I think that's mathematically going to be an accurate statement.
Yep.
If you're 30, you were born 30 years ago, that's like 1993, you probably didn't even have internet in your home, or at least anything more than a slow dial-up.
Yeah.
And more likely, if your kid's in high school, you're probably closer to 40. And then you definitely didn't grow up in that world of...
My kid's in high school, I'm 52.
Right. So a lot of these books, I think, would have been inappropriate in the society that we grew up in, because we're even older. But if you were in high school in the 80s and early 90s, what your reference point are is going to be different from the society. Because I've seen some of these books, I've seen excerpts from some of these books. A lot of these books are graphic novels that are being objected to, which is,
yep.
That's just a cultural change right there that you have.
And a graphic novel does not mean that a novel is graphic. It means that it is a, you know,
illustrated
novel.
That even is a bad description, because it's using the graphic method of storytelling.
It's a comic book, a long comic book.
Right. But what was different, which is a sea change, is that by high school, I think something like 80% of high school students have watched porn online. So if you're... I can't imagine there's any more way of distorting a subject about sexuality than... by the way pornography does. Before algorithms there was porn, but it's like porn has an algorithm to lead you to the most detoured way of looking at something sexual, to the most obscure fetish and things like that. But so really, there's a whole.
I've heard it say that there's. I've heard it said that there's never enough porn, but you can never have enough porn, but that you can never have too much porn. And I think that that speaks to sort of its inherentness.
Who
to what's that? Just a friend. And I think it's. But what it speaks to is that it is addictive. Is what his claim was.
Okay, I'll go along with that. But what I'm saying is, just to finish that point, and we can go on to yours, is that if you aren't aware that your child has been watching pornography, then you read these stories that are actually putting it into a more realistic context, or these explanatory books that are putting it into more realistic context, even if it's something about gay sex that makes you uncomfortable, or any sex that makes you uncomfortable. It's actually bringing the child a better perspective than what it's probably already absorbed online.
How about this? Would you agree that some books make it into middle school libraries, if we're going to use middle school here, without any librarian bothering to read them?
That's phrased to the extreme.
Without a local librarian.
You opened, I will call your open, and I will say, I don't think that any book enters the library without somebody in the librarian's authority approving the book.
Well, sure, they approve it. Because it's on a list of approved books or whatever. And what we've seen, I mean, just take the Journal of American Medical Association, their journal. I mean, we've seen all kinds of stuff make it into this journal that gets no vetting. That the scientific process...
School kids in a library.
What's that?
What does a journal that isn't edited by a librarian in middle school have to do with books that are coming in to a middle school? The librarian.
I can see how a conservative parent. Sorry.
No, the librarians have sought their degree. The ones that are in charge have sought their degree in their area of expertise. It's like saying the pharmacist knows the chemical reactions of everything that they sell. Well, they don't know that, but they are responsible for it. Just like the librarian is responsible for the books in the library, he or she is not required to read every novel in that library.
Agreed. I'm just saying that stuff can get into the library that a conservative parent might disagree with. I'd rather have a conversation about a book. If my son, you know, gets a hold of a book, I'd like to have a conversation about it. That way we can flesh this out. I don't want you to get one simple opinion from some guy named Jay Asher. Like, what the hell does Jay Asher know about life? I don't know, but I suspect, as vain as I am, that I know more. So I'd like to have a conversation about it.
How successful is your Netflix series?
Well, I had a nationally syndicated radio program for over 20 years, so I can say that my opinion is at the very least interesting.
I won't argue that, but
Debbie Does Dallas has got a lot of views. That doesn't make it art.
Well, I don't know how many times you watched it. Not all the nuances yet?
I don't know anything about it, other than it is probably the most famous pornographic film.
No, that's not.
Famous, you know, the name itself. You know what it is when you say
Dallas,
it.
There was Deep Throat that got mass media attention. Before Deep Throat, there was I Am Curious Yellow that got attention. You're just too young.
Okay. There's something about a green box, I believe. Behind the green door, maybe?
The green door. That was after...
Apparently you know all these.
Well, Deep Throat was the one that got the where you saw Linda Lovelace and the stars of it on places like The Tonight Show and things like that. It became a late-night joke and discussion.
Phenom. Yeah. Yes. Well, which came first, the Nixon... Snitch or the pornographic film?
Which pornographic film? Oh, Deep Throat. Well, Deep Throat must have preceded that.
Okay.
Well, they didn't name the movie after a whistleblower in the Nixon administration.
They name a lot of their movies after other movies.
That one. It was about something else.
If there's anything that hits the news, something in porn is going to reference it, or was at one point.
Coming back,
anyway,
wherever we were on the original story.
All I'm saying is that it seems wrong to me to demand tax money from a parent that is forced to, and then take their tax money and teach things that are abhorrent to them. And that's my stance.
All right. Well, I would just say that, A, for the conservative parent or the liberal parent that has a problem with one of those books, most libraries and most school systems have a procedure for asking for the review, and the review goes before the designated people that are supposed to have a background in all this, and it's been hijacked by a lot of vocal pressure from other places. Also, the concept of taxing diverse people for a compromised product, whether it be education or healthcare, is not that far of an extreme position, and it's actually how things get done. But you got about 10, 20 seconds if you want to rebut that, Mark, or you can go down memory lane.
Well, I think the charter schools are solving this problem to some extent. They're allowing people to take their money and focus them in different directions. And, I find that preferable, I suppose.
And in Florida, you can use your school voucher to buy TVs and theme park tickets, too. But that's a story for another day. You're listening to Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.